Greetings in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Welcome to this wonderful worship service today. I am Pastor Clarence William Page, and I thank the Lord for allowing me to be here. I call your attention to the book in the Holy Bible that immediately precedes Revelation. The book that immediately precedes Revelation. That is the book of Jude, J-U-D-E, the book of Jude. I would appreciate your turning to the book of Jude. Jude has much to say to each and every one of us. In the book of Jude, the reading begins at verse 1. Jude, the servant of Jesus Christ, and brother of James, to them that are sanctified by God the Father, and preserved in Jesus Christ, and called. Mercy unto you, and peace, and love be multiplied. Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that ye should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. For there are certain men crept in unawares, who were before of old ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men, turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness, and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. I will therefore put you in remembrance, though ye once knew this, how that the Lord, having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, afterward destroyed them that believed not, and the angels which kept not their first estate, but left their own habitation, hath he reserved in everlasting chains under darkness unto the judgment of the great day. Even as Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities about them in like manner, giving themselves over to fornication and going after strange flesh, or set forth for an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. Likewise also these filthy dreamers defile the flesh, despise dominion, and speak evil of dignities. Yet Michael the archangel, when contending with the devil, he disputed about the body of Moses, durst not bring against him a railing accusation, but said, "The Lord rebuke thee." But these speak evil of those things which they know not, but what they know naturally as brute beasts, in those things they corrupt themselves. Woe unto them! For they have gone in the way of Cain, and ran greedily after the error of Balaam for a reward, and perished in the gainsaying of Kore. These are spots in your feast of charity, when they feast with you, feeding themselves without fear, Clouds they are without water, carried about of winds, trees whose fruit withereth, without fruit, twice dead, plucked up by the roots. Raging waves of the sea, foaming out their own shame, wandering stars to whom is reserved the blackness of darkness forever. And Enoch also, the seventh from Adam, prophesied of thee, saying, Behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000s of his saints to execute judgment upon all and to convince all that are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds which they have ungodly committed, and of all their hard speeches which ungodly sinners have spoken against him. These are murmurers, complainers, walking after their own lusts, and their mouth speaketh great swelling words, having men's person in admiration because of advantage. But, beloved, remember ye the words which were spoken before of the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ, how that they told you there should be mockers in the last time, who should walk after their own ungodly lusts. These be they who separate themselves, sensual, having not the Spirit. But ye, beloved, building up yourselves in your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. And of some have compassion, making a difference, and others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh. Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling, and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and ever. Amen. Jude, verses 1 through 25. The entire book of Jude, one chapter, verses 1 through 25. Let us pray. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever. Amen. Father God, in the name of Jesus, cause your Holy Spirit to reach out through this worship service and touch hearts, minds, spirits, and souls all over this place, and wherever you would have them touched. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. For a short while, my friends, let us worship together using the subject That Sin-Blasting Jude. That Sin-Blasting Jude. Jude concludes the Bible rather than just sit between Revelation and 2 John. It is a conclusion. It is not the conclusion, but it is a conclusion. It has a way of wrapping up everything that we read in the Holy Bible. The Bible, if you have a Holy Bible, on the front of most of the Christian Bibles is the title Holy Bible, or it might say the Holy Bible. The Bible is holy. Almighty God is holy. The Lord Jesus Christ is holy. The Holy Spirit is holy. And Jude, in my ministerial opinion, does a wonderful job of summarizing the importance of the holiness of the Godhead, the importance of the holiness of God the Father, the importance of the holiness of God the Son, the importance of the holiness of God the Holy Ghost, God the Holy Spirit. And in my era of living, and this particular sermon is being preached in the year 2025, many people who are in church don't seem to have a grasp or grip on holiness. They don't seem to have a grasp or grip on holiness. And so in this sermon titled, That Sin-Blasting Jude, let's take a look at what Jude did. In my opinion, Jude preached a sermon that many preachers of my day, of the year 2025, are reluctant to preach. And the question is, why are they reluctant to preach it? Why are they reluctant to preach this sermon? Why are they reluctant to flesh out Jude? Many preachers, in my opinion, or at least some, and not a few, would not want to flesh out Jude in their pulpits. And why? In my opinion, because we have rubber stamped certain sins that Jude absolutely blasts. Jude is a sin blasting preacher. He doesn't take any prisoners. He just tells it just like it is. But many people today, in my opinion, embrace too much sin. You can be too nice of a preacher. You can water down what Jesus Christ gave us. You can water down what we're told that the Holy Ghost wants done. And some churches have done that. And when we do that, we do God the Father a great disservice. When we do that, we do God the Son a great disservice. When we do that, we do God the Holy Spirit a great disservice. But Jude doesn't do that. Jude is the sin-blasting preacher. Jude is, in my opinion, he is the sin-blasting preacher. He seems to blast sin more than did the Apostle Paul. He seems to blast sin more than did the Apostle Peter. He seemed to blast sin more than did the Apostle John. Perhaps he was closer to Jesus than the Apostle Peter. Perhaps he was closer to Jesus than was the Apostle John. Perhaps he was closer to Jesus than was the Apostle Paul. Many theologians believe, from what we read in the Holy Bible, that Jude was the biological brother of Jesus Christ. It is believed that Jude was the biological brother of Jesus Christ. No doubt if he indeed is the biological brother of Jesus Christ, he experienced scenes and interactions with Jesus Christ that neither Peter, Paul, nor John experienced. If he lived with Jesus Christ, if he grew up with Jesus Christ, if Jude is the biological brother of Jesus Christ, he was so close to Jesus Christ that neither Peter, John, nor Paul could claim a closer bond, a closer view, I might say. When you live with somebody, you get to understand who they are. When you live with somebody, you get to understand what they're about. When you live with somebody, particularly when you live with Jesus Christ, and you see him being perfect every second of his earthly life, every second, when you live with God, and you see his perfection every second of the day, every moment of the day, oh, you get to know him. And perhaps you'd be happy to serve him. Now it appears that the biological siblings of Jesus Christ on planet Earth, many of them, some of them did not believe him before he was hanged on the cross, crucified, dead, and buried, and rose the third day. Some of them did not believe him. Jude may not have believed him, but he came to faith. I don't know exactly when. I can't guarantee that he did not believe him before he died on the cross. I don't know if he did not believe Jesus Christ before he died on the cross, but it is clear that there were concerns in the family of Jesus about his mental state, about the things he was declaring about himself at some point in his life. I don't know what point Jude came to believe in Jesus Christ, but I do know that he decided to become a servant of Jesus Christ. He decided to become a servant of Jesus Christ, and he starts out his missive, his book, with Jude, the servant of Jesus Christ. He identifies himself as the servant of Jesus Christ. He lists his name, Jude, as if to say, I want you to know who this is now. This is Jude, the servant of Jesus Christ. It wasn't unusual for people to begin books and the salutation that way back then. The Apostle Paul and some of the other apostles began them that way. And also, the Apostle Paul said that that was his token or password, we might say. In the 21st century, we think that we are smart because we have passwords. But the Apostle Paul said the salutation in his own hand. When he wrote the salutation, when you got his letter, if the salutation was written in the handwriting of Paul, that was the password. That was the word, the token that says, this is authentically a letter from Paul, because the salutation is written in his own handwriting. So we think we're smart because we have passwords. The Apostle Paul, all those back then, they had authenticators. We think we are smart because we have authenticators. But Paul said that in every epistle, the salutation in his own hand was, in so many words, we would call it the password, the authenticator. And so here, Jude starts out with Jude, the servant of Jesus Christ. So he identifies himself. He's not ashamed. My name is Jude, and I'm the servant. The most important thing you need to know about me, number one, is that I'm the servant of Jesus Christ, apparently is what Jude is saying. Then he says he's the brother of James. And then he says, to them that are sanctified by God the Father. He doesn't start out half-stepping. I'm writing to those of you who are sanctified. The sanctified understand. The sanctified understand. Those who are not sanctified, they don't want to hear this. In the church, there are a lot of people, in many churches these days, sanctification is not important. They don't want to hear Jude. Jude would not be welcome in many churches in the year 2025. Believe me, Jude would not be welcome. They've already embraced many of these sins that Jude blasts. Jude is the sin-blasting preacher. That sin-blasting Jude. In some churches, they don't appear to me to be blasting sin. No, that's not nice. You have got to be smooth and gentle, and you have got to be embracing. You must embrace the diversity of human activity and understand that people are not perfect, and understand that you have to be able to accept the mess of other people. But Jude is not accepting any mess here. Jude, the servant of Jesus Christ and brother of James, to them that are sanctified by God the Father. He's not half-stepping. I'm writing to those of you who are sanctified by God the Father and preserved in Jesus Christ and called, sanctified by God the Father, sanctified by God the Father, preserved in Jesus Christ, preserved in Jesus Christ, preserved in Jesus Christ, called, called. Are you sanctified by God the Father? Are you preserved in Jesus Christ? Are you called? If you are, a Jew said, I want to talk to you. Apparently, he understood. The rest of them didn't want to hear this. And it is that way today. They don't want to hear it in your church. They'll sit down and look at you and listen to you or pretend to be listening. But they don't want you to hear you. They do not want to hear you talking about sin. Many of them, not everyone, there are some who are glad when you address it. But many of them, they don't want to hear you talking about sin. They have embraced sin. They have codified sin. In other words, they have included sin in their laws and said, it's all right to do this, and it's all right to do that. And if anybody says anything to you about it, they are wrong. They have codified, they have included sin in their codes of things that is all right to do. But Jude said, I want to talk to you if you're sanctified by God the Father. I want to talk to you if you're preserved in Jesus Christ. I want to talk to you if you're called. And those of you who are sanctified by God the Father, those of you who are preserved in Jesus Christ, those of you who are called will love this message. But those who are not will not like it too much. Unless the Holy Spirit operates during the period of this message and they see the light. But those who are sanctified by God the Father, those who are preserved in Jesus Christ, and those who are called will love this message. How do I know? Because I preach this and talk this to people. And there are some people who don't want to hear it. We don't want to hear this. We don't want to hear this, as if they feel that not hearing, they will not be held responsible for what it says. So they don't want to hear it. They don't want to know about sin. They don't want to know what is considered sin or what is said to be sin by the Holy Bible, because they have embraced sin. They have embraced sin. You will find yourself in this book. You will either be in agreement with it or you will be in disagreement with it. And if you disagree with what Jude wrote in this book, you have a spiritual problem. If you disagree with what Jude wrote in the sin-blasting book of Jude, if you disagree with what Jude wrote, if you disagree with what Jude wrote, if you disagree with what Jude wrote, if you disagree with what Jude wrote in the sin-blasting book of Jude, you have a spiritual problem. Doesn't matter whether you are a new Christian or a Christian of 70 years old, that you've been a Christian for 70 years and now you're 85 and you are still not embracing this. You have a spiritual problem if you disagree with what Jude wrote. It is a powerful book. Only 25 verses, but it is powerful. It is dynamite. This book of Jude is dynamite. 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 Spiritual dynamite. It will blow you up if you are not saved. It will blow you up if you are a weak Christian. It will blow you up if you have your own opinion against the Holy Bible. It will blow you up. This is a sin blasting book, the book of Jude. Jude starts out, he doesn't half step. I'm writing in so many words to the sanctified. If you are sanctified by God the Father, that's who I'm trying to preach to. Those of you, if there happens to be one sanctified person in your church, you're blessed. Sanctified by God the Father, preserved in Jesus Christ and called to them. It is to them. It is to them that Jude says, mercy unto you and peace and love be multiplied. To whom? To those who are sanctified by God the Father. To those who are preserved in Jesus Christ. To those who are called. Jude, that sin-blasting preacher, says, mercy to you and peace and love be multiplied. Then he calls you beloved. He calls us beloved. He said, beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that ye should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. He said, you need to contend. And Lord have mercy, I'm saying this. In the year 2025, somebody needs to stand up for the faith, defend and contend for the faith, because there's a whole lot of mess going on in the name of Christianity. Jude says, beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that ye should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. For there are certain men crept in unawares, who were before of old ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men, turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. Jude verse 4, and they're doing the same thing now. They're turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness. In other words, God forgives us freely, he gives us eternal life, and he allows us to live in the liberty that he has given us. And people take that and go sin with it. They use that, well, I'm saved, so I can do what I want to do because of the grace of God. But Jude says, for there are certain men crept in unawares, who were before of old ordained to this condemnation. Ungodly men, turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness. Listen, friend, there are people like that right now, perhaps in your church. There are preachers like that right now, perhaps in your church. There are bishops right now, perhaps in your church, who are turning the grace of God into lasciviousness, into sinful activities. Oh, let them dance. Look, there are so many things. Well, they are young. Well, the Lord understands. They're turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. So Jude writes to the sanctified, to those who are preserved in Jesus Christ and those who are called, and said, you need to contend for the faith. He says, sanctified, you need to contend for the faith. He says, those of you who are preserved in Jesus Christ, you need to contend for the faith. He's saying, those of you who are called, you need to contend for the faith, because there are certain men crept in unawares, and they are polluting, in so many words, the church. And this sin-blasting preacher named Jude, is putting his finger squarely on the problem. Ungodly men. And we have them in our churches today. And when he says ungodly men, that includes the women. Ungodly people who want to bring the nightclub into the church, who want to bring Broadway dancing into the church, who want to bring many of the sins of the world into the church, ungodly men and ungodly women. For there are certain men crept in unawares, who were before of old ordained to this condemnation. Ungodly men. Don't forget this. Ungodly men. Who are the ungodly men in your church? Who are the ungodly women in your church? Who are the ungodly men in your church? Who are the ungodly women in your church? Who are turning the grace of God into sin? Say, y'all go ahead. The Lord understands this. We're going to do this and we're going to do that. They are living in the world. They are living for the world. They are not sanctified by God the Father. They are not preserved in Jesus Christ, and they are not called. They're in the church, but they are not truly the church. Reverend, you're being a little hard on us, aren't you? No. If they listen long enough, they can get saved. I'm not saying you should put them out of the church, but you ought to know who they are. And you ought not to follow their ungodly, pernicious ways. Some of you who claim to be big-time deacons and preachers, you allow these ungodly men and ungodly women to sway you. That's what's wrong with the Christian church in the year 2025. Some of you who are 75 and 80 years old and have been in church all your lives, you old Christians, you ought to know better. You ought to know better, but you have allowed these ungodly men, these ungodly women to sway you and to pollute the church of Jesus Christ. But Jude says he's writing to those who are sanctified by God the Father, who are preserved in Jesus Christ and who are called. He goes on in verse 5, I will therefore put you in remembrance, though ye once knew this, how that the Lord, having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, afterward destroyed them that believed not. This is powerful. This is powerful. Jude, verse 5, I will therefore put you in remembrance, though ye once knew this, how that the Lord, having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, afterward destroyed them that believed not. This is personal to me. This is personal to me. And do you know why? Because I'm African American. Black, they call us. God got us out of slavery. And now you have African Americans embracing all this ungodly stuff. This is personal to me. He brought the children of Israel out of Egypt, but he afterward destroyed them that believed not. We don't understand. God can bring you out, but God can destroy you. When you decide that you're going to get in the major culture and do their mess. In Jude, verse 5, he said, I will therefore put you in remembrance. I'm not just talking to African Americans, but some of you have forgotten. And some of you are old like I am. And you remember what church was in the 1950s and 1960s and 1970s. And it's totally different now. If those saints came back and came to a service, Lord have mercy. If those old saints of the 1950s, 1960s, 1970s came back and see and saw how some of you are having church, if your grandmother came back, if your great-grandmother came back, and Lord have mercy, if your great-grandfather who was a deacon came back and saw how you are having church, Lord have mercy. I'm talking to my people now. I'm talking to everybody. But with specificity, I'm talking to those of you whose ancestors were in slavery and God brought us out. You need to come and look at Jude verse 5. I will therefore put you in remembrance, though ye once knew this, how that the Lord, having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, afterward destroyed them that believed not. And if you believe a man should be sexually intimate with a man, you don't believe the word of God. If you believe a woman should be sexually intimate with another female, you do not believe the word of God. And there are some of my people, black people, who have embraced this for advantage, for political advantage, for a political advantage, for a political advantage, maybe for economic advantage. Don't come down on us, Paige. If the shoes fit, you need to slip it on. If the shoes fit, you need to slip them on. Somebody has to warn you. But not only that, not only African Americans, it's other races too. It's other races too. It's other races too. It's other races too. But I wanted to, with specificity, point out what my people are doing. A lot of times we talk about other people, but we need to look at ourselves. And then there's racism on the other side, on the white side, they call it. Racism, 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 racism. Then there are people who claim to be Christians, but they glory in people being killed, whether by our bombs or whether by the police or whatever. But you call yourself Christian. But if you are sanctified by God the Father, and preserved in Jesus Christ and called, all of those sins are revulsive to you. Sin is revulsive to one who is sanctified by God the Father, preserved in Jesus Christ and called. So whether you're black or white, red, yellow, polka dot, pink, or whatever you are, you can be sanctified by God the Father, preserved in Jesus Christ and called. But you have to be willing to become a servant of Jesus Christ. That's how Jude introduces his book. He says, Jude, the servant of Jesus Christ. Jude, the servant of Jesus Christ. Jude, the servant of Jesus Christ. Who are you? I am the servant of Jesus Christ. And when you become the servant of Jesus Christ, you are revulsed by that which is revulsive to Jesus Christ. And many of you in your churches today, you are not revulsed. Matter of fact, you embrace that mess. If your church embraces homosexual activity, you are not revulsed. If your church embraces secular dancing and secular music, when the Bible specifically in the book of Colossians chapter 3 tells you exactly what kind of music you ought to have. But no, we got to bring the young people in. So we got to have a little hip hop, that cussing music. Yeah, I said it. It's cussing. It is ashamed. The very stereotypes that the white racists used to say about black people, we are trying to prove them true with that cussing hip-hop and other mess we do. We are trying to prove that the racists said, well, these people, they are less than human. Look at them, they are heathen. We are acting like heathens. Yes, I said it. You won't like it. But those who are sanctified by God the Father, those who are preserved in Jesus Christ, and those who are called, they will love this message. But those of you who have embraced the heathenism that the slave master used to accuse us of, this mess you're doing, this cussing in the open, cussing on television, cussing in films, just cussing wherever. In some places you go and they're just cussing. And I'll tell you, black people, I don't hear white people cussing like that. Yeah, I hear them cussing sometimes. Now somebody needs to say, you won't like that, but you know what? I don't care if you don't like me, frankly. I'm not trying to be mean. I don't care. My job is to preach to you. And this cussing that black people are doing is unnecessary. It's heathenistic. H-E-A-T-H-E-R-N-I-S-T-I-C. It's ungodly. And you need to stop it. And some of you ungodly older people who were here in the 1950s, 1960s, 1970s, you won't speak against it. But Jude, that sin-blasting preacher, is not afraid to speak against it. He says here in verse 5, I will therefore put you in remembrance, though ye once knew this, how that the Lord, having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, afterward destroyed them that believed not. When you go against the word of God, you believe not. Which might mean you're not saved. When you're saved, you got to believe to get saved. So if you're saved, what happened to your faith? If you were baptized, what happened to your faith? God destroyed those who believe not. And if you are a believe notter, you're on your way to hell. If you are a believe notter, if you believe not, you're on your way to hell. No matter how long you've been in the church, no matter if your dad is a preacher, the bishop, no matter if your mother is the missionary, the choir president, or the Sunday school teacher, Sunday school superintendent, if you don't believe in Jesus the Christ, you're on your way to hell, and many of your preachers will not tell you. Maybe that's why God has me preaching. And I'm going to lay it out for you. Reverend, you see mean. No, what's mean is to let you go to hell. That's what's mean. What's love is to advise you and wake you up and get you to turn around on the road to hell, get you to turn around and come back to heaven. That's what's love. Letting you continue your walk to hell is not love. I will therefore put you in remembrance, though ye once knew this, how that the Lord, having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, afterward destroyed them that believed not. Verse 6, and the angels, which kept not their first estate, but left their own habitation, he hath reserved in everlasting chains under darkness unto the judgment of the great day. Now, somebody ought to have enough sense to realize that if God don't take no mess from angels, he sure ain't going to take no mess from human beings. Excuse my English. But you ought to have sense enough to realize if God don't take no mess from angels, he ain't going to take no mess from human beings. I'm talking about my lingo back when I was on the farm in North Carolina. If God don't take no mess from angels, he ain't going to take no mess from human beings. If the God we serve, if the God I serve does not accept the sin of angels, he is not going to accept the sin of human beings for whom his only begotten son died. If God doesn't play when it comes to angels, he's not going to play when it comes to human beings. And Jude says, and the angels which kept not their first estate, but left their own habitation, he hath reserved in everlasting chains under darkness unto the judgment of the great day. This is the serious sin-blasting Jude. He starts all the way back. A chronology, so to speak, from the angels that fell right down through the ages. He starts in heaven. He starts back and lets you know, look at here. Y'all can sin if you want to in so many words, but you need to know God didn't play with the angels that sinned, but he has reserved them in everlasting chains under darkness unto the judgment of the great day. And every one of you must stand before the judgment throne of God. Or every one of us. We must. The angels. Oh, I'm talking about that sin-blasting Jude. Then he gets down to what some of you are making excuses for these days. You have made it legal to do what verse 7 says don't do. Listen at verse 7. How do I know? Because I talk to you. You make excuses. You're embracing what the Bible says is sin. And you don't want to listen to me because who am I? You want to listen to somebody who has, well, let me. Anyway, let's go to verse 7. Verse 7 of the book of Jude. Even as Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities about them in like manner, giving themselves over to fornication and going after strange flesh, or set forth for an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. Now that says it all. How dare you stand before Almighty God and say, well, I didn't know that homosexual activity was wrong. I didn't know that men sexing men and women sexing women was wrong. Jude verse 7 says, even as Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities about them in like manner, giving themselves over to fornication and going after strange flesh, or set forth for an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. That tells you right there. And what's so bad about it, and I'm coming back to my people now. See, y'all don't invite me to preach, but if you happen to light on my sermons, I'll have to jack you up with the word of God. And what I mean, I have to let you know that you're doing some wrong stuff. Many of you people who are black, who came out of slavery by the grace of God, now you are embracing homosexuality because the Democrat Party embraces homosexuality. You criticize Donald Trump because you say, well, he's a crook and he's this, but God apparently had to bring him back into power to get rid of all this sin that has been embraced by our laws with specificity, transgenderism, gender fluidity, saying, well, if you feel like you're a man, you're a man. If you feel like you're a woman, you're a woman. That's a lie from the pit of hell. And you ought to have sense enough to know that. You ought to have sense enough to know that if somebody says they feel like they're a female, or they feel like they're a male, you ought to know that's stupid. And then you criticize the people who say, make America great again. If you are standing for homosexual activity, you are part of the group that has made America ungreat or weaker. If you are standing for transgenderism, saying that a parent should be able to, at the age of 7 or 8, to be able to give the child hormones, the child was born with male genitalia, and you are saying, well, if they say they feel like they're female, give them hormones so when they get older, they'll be a female. That is from the pit of hell. And you ought to know that. I shouldn't have to tell you that. I don't know what is wrong with you. I don't know what is wrong. I know what's wrong with you. You're not saved. Or if you are in the church, you're not sanctified by God the Father. You need to get sanctified. So on the one hand, you want to criticize people like the current president who they had to elect to get some of this mess done. Even in the military, all that mess was going on. With that mess, I volunteered for the military twice. But with that mess going on, I wouldn't volunteer now unless he fixes it. If Donald Trump fixes that, and the people that you all criticize so much, if they fix that, then I would volunteer. I wouldn't want to be in a barrack where homosexuality is going on. Who wants to be in that kind of barrier where homosexuality is going on? My goodness. No. 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 I'm talking about that sin-blasting Jude, that sin blasting Jude. Verse 7, he says, even as Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities about them in like manner, giving themselves over to fornication and going after strange flesh, are set forth for an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. Let me read that again. Pay attention to the words, the phrase, set forth, or set forth, or set forth, or set forth, or set forth. I'm setting them forth for you right now. Jude verse 7, even as Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities about them in like manner, giving themselves over to fornication and going after strange flesh, or set forth for an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. God is setting them forth right now for an example. Don't you dare appear before God and say you didn't know. Jude set them forth. God used Jude to set them forth as an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. You're going to stand there and say, well, don't send me to hell. God could say, but didn't you know? Didn't you know? Didn't you hear Pastor Page read Jude, which says, even as Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities about them in like manner, giving themselves over to fornication and going after strange flesh, are set forth for an example. They are being set forth for an example. You see the example. You're not crazy. You see the example. You are not crazy. You see the example. Sodom and Gomorrah are set forth for an example. The Holy Bible says that with specificity. The Holy Bible says that precisely and succinctly. Or set forth for an example. Therefore, my friends, you are without excuse. You can go in your church and embrace that mess if you want to. You can go in that in your church and embrace it if you want to. But God has set forth Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities about them as an example, for an example, or set forth for an example of what God does to people who do that kind of mess. God does not play. And I have sense enough to not play with him. Almighty God does not play. And I have sense enough to not play with him. Verse 8. Likewise also these filthy dreamers defile the flesh, despise dominion, and speak evil of dignities. They don't care about holy stuff. They don't care about God. They're going to do what they want to do. It's my right. It's my choice. I have a right. You don't have any business to tell me what. I might not, but God does. You can say that I as a person have no business in your business. But I guarantee you I know someone who does have business in your business. He's Almighty God. He has business. And I'm reading to you his words. Now you can, if you want to disregard what I say, that's up to you. But I don't advise that you would disregard what the word of God says. That's why I read so much of the word of God. Because I know people will cast us aside out of hand. I don't want to hear him. Who do you think he is? But I don't advise that you ought to cast aside the word of God. Jude verse 8, likewise also these filthy dreamers defile the flesh, despise dominion, and speak evil of dignities. Yet Michael the archangel, when contending with the devil, he disputed about the body of Moses, durst not bring against him a railing accusation, but said, the Lord rebuke thee. But these speak evil of those things which they know not, But what they know naturally as brute beasts, in those things they corrupt themselves. Woe unto them, for they have gone in the way of Cain, and ran greedily after the error of Balaam for reward, and perished in the gainsaying of Kori. These are spots in your feast of charity, when they feast with you, feeding themselves without fear. Clouds they are without water, carried about of winds, trees whose fruit withereth, without fruit twice dead, plucked up by the roots. Raging waves of the sea, foaming out their own shame. Wandering stars, to whom is reserved the blackness of darkness forever. And Enoch also, the seventh from Adam, prophesied of thee, saying, behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000s of his saints to execute judgment upon all, and to convince all that are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds which they have ungodly committed, and of all their hard speeches which ungodly sinners have spoken against him. These are murmurers, complainers, walking after their own lusts, and their mouth speaketh great swelling words, having men's persons in admiration because of advantage. But, beloved, remember ye the words which were spoken before of the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ, how that they told you there should be mockers in the last time, who should walk after their own ungodly lusts. These be they who separate themselves, sensual, having not the Spirit. But ye, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. And of some have compassion, making a difference, and others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh. So Jude lays it out. He blasts sin. He tells you what's wrong. And then he concludes it with one of the greatest, and most graceful statements in the Bible. He talks about those who sinned, those who were destroyed, those who are ungodly, but he ends it so beautifully. Listen to how he ends it. Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling, and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. Now he's talking to those who are sanctified by God the Father, preserved in Jesus Christ and called. And he says, now unto him that is able to keep you from falling, and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. In this, it sounds like those who are sanctified by God the Father and preserved in Jesus Christ and called can fall. Because Jude says, now to him that is able to keep you from falling. And I think a lot of people have fallen because Satan has sent in ungodly men and ungodly women into the church, and they have brought Satan's ungodly philosophies and sins into the church, and there are those who apparently are sanctified, preserved, and called, who perhaps have experienced some degree of degradation or some degree of falling. Because Jude says, now unto him who is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and ever. Amen. Those of you who are sanctified by God the Father, those of you who are preserved in Jesus Christ, those of you who are called, this is a heads up. This is a heads up, because the devil is streaming his ungodly people into your churches, and they plan to become the majority, and they plan to vote against holiness. They plan to vote against that which is sanctified. They plan to vote against that which is godly, and they plan to bring ungodly stuff. They plan to put Satan's people on your deacon board, on your trustee board, in your pulpits, in your pulpits, in your pulpits, to make them bishops and make them elders. That's what Satan is doing in the year 2025. So those of you who are sanctified by God the Father and preserved in Jesus Christ and called, you need to hear Jude, that sin-blasting Jude. You need to perk up, wake up, and hear that sin-blasting Jude who is warning you. And I see it happen. I go to churches. I can see the devil's imprimatur, his imprint on some churches. I see it. Other people see it too. Because apparently some of the church leaders have fallen. But your fall is not excused. Because Jude said, now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and ever. Amen. It's easy to fall. Racism is a fall. Of all the great hymns that white people have written, basically the English and the American people have written great hymns that we sing all the time. But there are times when I'm listening to certain radio stations and a white man is singing one of the great hymns of the church, and I'm wondering, is he a Ku Klux Klanman? They call themselves the Christian Knights of the Ku Klux Klan, and they are murderers. I'm talking about people who fall. And so I'm listening to a white man sing the old great hymns of the church, and I, being a black preacher, I'm wondering, is he or was he a Ku Klux Klansman? He's a racist. Now, unto him that is able to keep you from falling, if you are a murderous Ku Klux Klansman, if you were ever sanctified by God the Father and preserved in Jesus Christ and called, and if you've gone out and lynched people, if you are in the habit now of meeting with your friends in the 2025 year and talking about what you might do to black people. You have fallen. You've fallen. You've fallen. Jesus Christ's name is being harmed by you. In Psalm 23, David is very succinct, very clear, very precise. He leadeth me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. His name is on the line. When you call yourself the Christian Knights of the Ku Klux Klan and you go out and you lynch people, you do great violence to the name of Jesus the Christ. But David says, he leadeth me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. You hurt people. And when people hear those great songs of the church, and they're wondering, is this being sung by a Ku Klux Klansman? He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Whenever you sin, you harm the reputation of Jesus Christ, and you make it less likely that somebody who needs to be saved will be saved. Because they're wondering, is this being sung by a person who's willing to lynch a person like me? David said, he leadeth me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. That sin-blasting Jude, every saint that's sanctified needs to come and read the book of Jude. One chapter, powerful, full of dynamite, full of dynamite. Jude, 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 that sin blasting Jude. Let us pray. Father God, thank you for Jude. Lord Jesus, thank you for Jude. Holy Spirit, thank you for Jude. Father God, don't let this message be lost, but let those who hear, help them to understand these examples that are set forth for us. And Father God, lead them into full repentance. Lead them into sanctification, that they may be preserved in Jesus Christ and called. In Jesus' name I pray. Thank you, Father. Amen. My friends, if you've been convicted of your sins, ask the Lord Jesus Christ to save you. Believe, believe, believe that Jesus is the Christ, the anointed one of God, the Son of God, that he died on the cross for your sins, that he rose that you might stand righteous before Almighty God. Ask him to save you. Even if you don't understand it all, he understands it all. Even if you don't understand it all, he understands it all. He knows what it means to say, oh Lord, save my soul. He knows what you're asking. Even if you don't know what he's asking, he knows what you're asking. They say, oh Lord, save my soul. Oh Lord, save my soul. Oh Lord, please save my soul. And you keep asking him until you know you're saved. And once you know you're saved, contact a Christian minister and a ministry, request and receive Christian baptism. Christian baptism is very important. Christian baptism is very important. So once you know that you are saved, request and receive Christian baptism. The Lord will send people to help you. Let us look unto the Lord and be dismissed. And now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, To the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and ever. Amen.